I'd like to call this regular council meeting to order. Would you all rise, please, for the invocation?
We meet to serve our community and endeavor to be worthy custodians of all that has been entrusted to us. Let us be concerned only for what will promote good government. May we bring to our council chamber minds that think and hearts that feel, so that in our deliberations we may display imagination, wisdom, and courage, and the will to do our work for the good of all.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, the roll call.
Your Worship, all members of council are present.
Thank you. There is no addendum this evening. A few announcements. I'd like to start by congratulating Bird Sisler on reaching his 101st birthday. Fantastic milestone for anyone to reach, and although I sometimes feel 101, I've got a ways to go yet. I wanted to mention that the South End Neighborhood Plan is seeking applicants for the focus group. And there's an ad in the local newspaper with respect to that. There's going to be a focus group of between 10 and 12 persons. There are some specific criteria and areas of interest that the town would like to fill. In terms of that focus group, applications need to be submitted to the town no later than next Thursday, April the 21st, 2016. And they can be sent to Chris Miller, either at the town hall at 1 Municipal Drive or to his email address, which is cmiller, spelled M-I-L-L-A-R, at fortery.ca. I also wanted to mention that this Sunday and the following Sunday, so April the 17th and April the 24th, Canadian Niagara Power is going to be turning off electrical service in the town of Fortery for a half an hour each of those mornings between 3 and 3:30 a.m., That's in order to complete the upgrades to their electrical transmission system. So you won't have power between 3 o'clock and 3:30 a.m. on Sunday, April the 17th and Sunday, April the 24th. And if you need any information, you could obtain that through the Canadian Niagara Power website. On Thursday night at the Region, Kevin Galt, a local individual, received the Duke of Edinburgh's International Award. It's a very prestigious international award. It's given to youth between the ages of 18 and 24 around the world. It encourages young people to volunteer within their communities and to understand the importance of that service to their communities. Kevin serves with Canadian Navy League, which regularly the local meets at the Black Creek Community Center, and we're hoping to be able to get Kevin and his parents, who've also recently received an award from the Canadian Navy League. So congratulations to Kevin. Also wanted to mention a couple of local youth, Nicole Mathis and J.C. Copeland. Congratulate them, four-year secondary school students who accepted significant scholarships to study mathematics at Carleton University. It's a tribute to their talent and to their perseverance in their studies. It's also a tribute to the mathematics program at Fortery Secondary School, headed by teacher Deanna Ward. I attended on a week ago Saturday. I attended the Opening the Door event at the Fortery Native Friendship Center, which was a seminar open to the public, part of the process of reconciliation between those First Nations children who were forced from their homes to attend residential schools, the churches that ran those schools, and the federal government. I attended the opening ceremonies, and deeply moving, particularly the comments by those survivors of the residential schools, and really highlighted the fact that reconciliation will be a long and painful journey, both for survivors as well as their families and their communities. The scars are physical as well as emotional. They're very real, and they should give us all pause to consider how we treat each other in our civilized society. April the 4th, Monday morning, I had the pleasure of helping to raise the flag for the National Autism Day. A very cold day, but some intrepid individuals associated with the Autism Association were here, and we were able to raise the flag. Didn't get lost in the snowbank. You'll recall that was a week ago, snowing, and so we survived that. On Saturday coming up, the Connect Club of Stevensville will be celebrating its 40th anniversary. The Connects have been a dynamic, intrepid organization dedicated to serving the residents, not only of Stevensville, but all of Fort Erie for those 40 years. And we want to thank them for their contributions to making our community a better place. And then finally, I wanted to mention that one of our employees, James Lane, was recognized by the Ontario Good Roads Association. He is now designated as a certified road supervisor. It's a recognition that only the Association of Ontario Road Supervisors can grant. That's pursuant to provincial legislation. They have the exclusive right to provide that certificate, and it's based on experience and education criteria that are mandatory. The certification is important because it increases corporate professionalism, accountability, and morale, and I want to congratulate James Lane for receiving that certification. That then takes us to the closures of pecuniary interest. Councillor Lubbers.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. On item 11A, there's a motion by Councillor Passero. I declared a conflict when this, there was a report earlier, I declared a conflict. The company I work for, Real Electric, they own the property across the street from this, and it could affect their property value.
Okay. Are there any other disclosures? There being none, there are some public notices with respect to, first of all, current vacancies on the Communities in Bloom Committee and the Property Standards Committee. The deadline to apply to the clerk of the Town of Fort Erie is this Wednesday, April the 13th at 4 p.m. Applications may be completed on the form available on the town's website, www.forterie.ca, under announcements, public notice, vacancies on committees, or application forms are available at the town hall in the clerk's office. On Tuesday, April the 19th, there will be an open house with respect to the town-initiated zoning bylaw amendment regarding fence regulations. These proposed amendments are to remove sections of the regulation. And as I said, that's Tuesday, April the 19th, at the town hall atrium between 5 and 6 p.m. And finally, there's a public meeting scheduled for that fence regulations, town-initiated zoning bylaw amendment on Monday, May the 2nd, 2016 at 6 p.m. here in the Town Hall Council Chambers. The information report with respect to that will be available on our website on Wednesday, April the 27th, 2016. That takes us to the Regional Council report. Good evening, Councillor Annunziata.
Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, colleagues on council and staff. Reports to bring forward from Regional Council. A lot of it focuses with our strategic plan and dollars coming from the federal government to hopefully fund some of those initiatives within our strategic plan. The federal government announced $3.4 billion in new public transit infrastructure funding to provide up to 50% of eligible costs for projects. As you know, the region is engaged currently in putting together the final touches on its GO proposal. It's committed $10 million this year, $30 million next year in order to secure full-time train service down to Niagara. The federal government also allocated $504 million over 2 years for construction of new units of affordable housing. We at the region are going through an alternative service delivery program right now, analyzing we just finished long-term care housing, and now we're looking at affordable housing. So we'll be starting that process as well. We understand that getting people off that waiting list is a pressing issue. And as well, I've had a couple of calls from people in the community looking to see when the SWIFT broadband service initiative will be up and running. Fortunately, I wish I had some better news and I could say it was going to be 2016, but the federal government committed $500 million over 5 years to enhance broadband service in rural communities, of which Southern Ontario and Niagara does house quite a few rural communities. The region committed $500,000, the province committed $500,000, and the federal government committed $500,000 over the next 4 years to service Niagara. We're still waiting on some commitments from the federal government as far as rollout times, but hopefully we'll get some dates, some geographic locations, and we'll put some numbers and some dates to the plan as we move forward with the SWIFT broadband initiative. As I alluded to, we did go through our long-term care home redevelopment. We looked at the background of long-term care facilities, senior services, the revenue sources generated, Niagara's cost per bed, the imbalance of demand and supply. We're currently going through a public engagement overview, and we've highlighted three specific properties subject to redevelopment. One is right here in the town of Fort Erie, Gilmore Lodge, the other one being Upper Canada Lodge in Niagara on the Lake, and the other one being Lynnhaven. As we go forward, we'll keep council apprised of any new developments in the long-term care initiative. Council did ratify that we move to phase two study, which is eventually property acquisition. And hopefully we get some traction on redeveloping our long-term care facility here in Niagara. Council is about, hopefully, to ratify a motion by my colleague, Councillor Timms, and seconded by myself, specific to a tourism strategy that includes the Niagara Five Trail system. The Niagara Five Trail system, Waterfront Trail, 20 Valley, the Niagara River Parkway, Niagara's Well and Canal Parkway, the Trans-Canada Trail South Coast Drive, and the Greenbelt Cycling Route be included in the five trails for consideration. So again, piggybacking on the great work of this council and the partnering with the Niagara Parks and the commitment to the trail system and the bicycle trail system, hopefully this will be ratified and we could have another $100,000 allocated towards a tourism strategy for these particular trail systems, some of which pass right through the town of Fort Erie. Of concern, and I've fielded calls and questions on this as well, and perhaps the mayor could probably speak to this a lot better than I could as he sits on the Public Works Committee, is our Niagara Specialized Transit Fare update. Now, the Niagara Specialized Transit Fare is specific for people in the healthcare system, a large portion of whom utilize the system for dialysis. The rest of it are made up of Brock University and Niagara College, making those institutions a little bit more accessible. Now, there was a fare increase, and I think as we go through that process right now, we've committed to keeping the fare status quo until the end of December. And hopefully by then we could find some kind of initiative that's not going to break the bank for those seniors that require that service and that are on fixed income. So I know the mayor is actually working on that, sitting on the Public Works Committee, but I just wanted to make mention of that. We are working towards making a more competitive fare for those people that utilize it specifically for dialysis. One of my colleagues will be moving forward with a motion respecting Lyme disease. And we know that, I know I've been contacted personally by constituents here in the town of Fort Erie that are suffering from Lyme disease, having been exposed to tick bites. As we know with climate change, the ticks tend to come out a little bit more often. One of my colleagues at council is recommending that the province fund a more expedited testing system. So sufferers from the long-term consequences of this disease know whether or not they are affected, and they could actually seek medical assistance a whole lot quicker. And I fully support that initiative. We were dominated this past week with the issue of biodiversity offsetting. For those of you that don't know what biodiversity offsetting is, it's the potentiality of having some kind of tool in the toolbox to actually move a provincially significant wetland from one area to a more complex wetland area. It was floated first by the province in their white paper, and they're asking for feedback. Ultimately, I know as a council, we've been struggling with PSWs for close to a decade now.
Councilor Nunziata, I don't want to cut you off there, but you know we're going to be having a delegation from the Conservation Authority.
Yeah.
I believe it's next regular council meeting.
Okay.
But they will be coming forward, and we did catch...
Yeah, and I was going to allude to that as well, yeah. Yeah. So to the clerk's comments, yes. So the Conservation Authority will be presenting on the issue of biodiversity offsetting. I encourage this council to educate themselves as much as they can on that issue. Like I said, we've been struggling with it here in the town of Fort Erie for close to a decade now, with PSWs within our urban boundary and affecting our employment lands and certainly our industrial parks. So how that all ties in together, hopefully the presentation will show that. I'll open it up to questions or comments from council.
Any members of council have any questions of Councilor Nunziata? Being none, thank you very much, Councilor Nunziata.
My pleasure.
That takes us to presentations and delegations. We do have one delegation that appears on the agenda, and that is Emma Chak or Tsak. Please come forward, madam. We have you as 340 Oxford Avenue. Yes, please. 340 Oxford Avenue. And the proper pronunciation of your last name?
Tsak, yep. Pronounce it properly.
Thank you. Thank you. Please proceed.
I came here today, and I'm not the only one with this problem. My house at 340 Oxford Avenue was on fire on October 6th last year. The house is not a total loss, but about 70%. So it will be a rebuild. On that day, gas, hydro, and water, or the next day, gas, hydro, and water was turned off. Since then, I don't pay for gas and hydro, but the city keeps charging for water. As I don't take advantage of the service, you don't provide me the service, I don't feel fair. Other municipalities don't do it, and I don't know why Fort Erie does. This was the number one reason I came here. Then two more issues came up regarding this fire. As I said, the house will be rebuilt, and I came to the city and filed about zoning, and I got a I could build. And according this zoning bylaw, I could build a house, but I have to have minimum frontage of 15 meters. I can cover 40% of the area. Minimum rear yard has to be 8 meters, and the interior side yard should be 1.5 meter for anything above a one-story building. I want to build a two-story building. When I made the plans, I came to the city, and they went over it, and they said I needed a minor variance. Because the house I want to build doesn't comply for all with all the criteria. They say that the applicant requests permission to construct a single detached dwelling to be located 6.75 meters from the rear lot line instead of 8 meters, and 1.5 meters from the northerly interior side lot line.
Excuse me, Mrs. Chak, have you applied for a minor variance?
Yes, I did.
Has there been a hearing yet, or are you awaiting a hearing?
No, on Thursday. It will be on Thursday. But I just want to, my point is that Saudi said I don't comply with 4 points. Though on the paper I got, the percentage of the loss coverage should be 40% instead of the 30% the city tells me. So I don't know why this form doesn't say that. I was here twice, and twice got the same information about the 40% and 1.5 meter instead of the 2 meter sideline. But my point is that this zoning bylaw 129.90.11.3 is not the only one that that should have been taken into consideration, because 0.618 of the same bylaw says that non-conforming uses, building structures and lots, repaired to safe condition, says nothing in this bylaw shall prevent the repair to a safe condition of an existing building or structure, even though such building or structure or the lot on which such building or structure is located does not conform to one or more of the provisions of this bylaw, provided that the dimensions of the original building or structure are not increased, thereof is not altered, and the yards of portamento are not reduced except in accordance with the provisions of this bylaw. So if I rebuild the same house, which is a monster house on a small lot, property line, and the house.
So, Mrs. Chack, couple of things. Number one, I've permitted you to drift off of what your delegation was supposed to be about, and that's fine. But now that you've gotten into your second point, which has to do with the minor variance, we have a process here whereby we've delegated that responsibility for deciding whether a minor variance should be granted or not to a committee of adjustments, and that's, you're going to be appearing before them on Thursday. If between now and then you have concerns about whether all of the requests that you were asking for were properly put forward by the town staff, I would suggest that you speak to the secretary of the committee of adjustments. Her name is Carrie Honey. She's here at the town hall.
My problem is not that. If this 0.618 says that, there is nothing that should prevent me to rebuild that house.
But you're not...
I don't think
you're listening to me.
I do.
First of all, you're not just rebuilding. You're building something with a second story where there wasn't one before.
No, but I could rebuild the same house if I wanted.
But that's not an issue for us to decide this evening. That's something that you need to take up with a minor variance application.
My problem is that why do I have to pay that fee? And I have the right to rebuild.
Well, because you don't comply with the zoning, and so therefore you require.
But this point says that if to safe condition, provided that the dimensions of the original building or structures are not increased, I'm not increasing.
Well, you are. You're going up higher. That height is a dimension.
But that is within the bylaw. That is within the bylaw, but the area of the house won't be bigger. It will be way smaller. That would be almost this. The house is this big, and I want this small house.
I think the setbacks would be larger if you have a higher building. Mr. Brady, have you been following this?
But
yes,
my point is not the height or width of the house or anything. It says that I could rebuild it. So why do I have to pay if you have no power?
Because you're not rebuilding what was destroyed. You're going to build something bigger.
Okay.
That means you require a minor variance to the existing zoning bylaw.
I mean the height of the that zoning. I don't mean the setback.
Do you have any other points that you wanted to raise?
Yes. Since the house was burned down or was on fire, it is not a livable house. It is, and I still pay the same taxes if it was a dwelling.
Any members of council have any questions of Mrs. Jack? Zero.
Thank you for being here tonight and presenting your concerns. I sympathize with the fire you had. My cousin went through that, and I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. My question is specifically regarding your request for waiving of the base water rates because you're not utilizing any of the water. We as a council are still responsible to ensure that the water in the system keeps moving around. It's clean. It's available to use, even though you might not be drawing from it at the present time. Who do you think should continue to fund that so that it is ready and available for your use at the time when you do rebuild?
I think our taxes cover the water supply of the...
Sure, Mr. Passero, Councilor Passero can advise you that there's two separate accounts. One is the property taxes, which deals with things like your road, parks, libraries, services that are provided through planning.
And water as well.
No. There's a specific separate account for water and sewer services. It's provincially mandated so that all the money that we raise for water and sewer can be used only for and specifically for maintaining the water system.
Okay. Still, I don't use the service.
Thank you for being here tonight.
Any other councillors? Thank you very much, Mrs. Chairman.
Point of personal privilege. Chair, you're not going to recognize my personal privilege?
We're going now to, we finished delegations, we're now going to consent agenda items. You're the regional councillor, you're not one of the
municipal councillors. It has nothing to do with the delegation. I forgot something in
Why
my...
Why don't you raise a point?
Correct.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, thank you for recognizing my point of privilege.
Sure.
I was remiss in forgetting that there was 340 organizations, Your Worship, that were actually successful in the Niagara Investment and Culture. So I just wanted to recognize those three organizations, Fort Erie Festivals, Fort Erie Native Friendship Center, and Ridgeway Weeds Literacy Society. So those three organizations were successful in funds through the Niagara Investment and Culture. And I encourage any other non-for-profit or any other organization invested in culture or history to come forward and apply for 2017.
Thank you very much, Councillor Nunziata. That then takes us to consent agenda items. Are there any items that anyone wishes removed from the consent agenda? If not, Councillor Lubert, you have the resolution with respect to the consent agenda.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott, excuse me, that Council approves the consent agenda items as recommended.
Are there any questions or comments with respect to the consent agenda items? Now, I would point out that we have three resolutions with respect to nonprofit organizations. One relates to the National Day of Mourning, which is scheduled for April the 28th, 2016, here at the Town Hall. One relates to Seniors Month, which is the month of June, and the other relates to Pride Niagara, Pride Week, which is the week of May 28th to June the 4th. If there are no questions with respect to any of the consent agenda items, I'll call the question on the resolution. All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. Mr. Zanko, you have the... Wait a second. Let me just check my agenda. Yes. That takes us then to new business and inquiries. Councillor Zanko, you have the next resolution.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Passero, that Council accepts the resignation of Councillor Nutt as Council Representative on the Community Gaming Development Corporation.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. And Councillor Nutt, I understand you have the next resolution. I actually understand that you have someone who is willing to fill your shoes. Is that correct?
Yes, actually, Councillor Passero had asked if he could take my
spot. Anyone else that's interested in this position? If not, then I would suggest you insert Councillor Passero's name and we'll proceed with the resolution.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zenko. The Council appoints Councillor Passero as the Councillor Representative on the Gaming Community Gaming Development Corporation for the period ending November 30th, 2018.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? Congratulations, Councillor Passero. Better you than me. Okay, Councillor Butler, you have a resolution with respect to the Crystal Beach BIA.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. That Council appoints Jason Baumgartner to the Crystal Beach Business Improvement Area Board of Management for the period ending November 30th, 2018, moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? Opposed, that is carried. Are there any other inquiries by members of council? Councillor McDermott and then Councillor Butler.
Yes, Your Worship. Through you to Mr. Walls, since we are being televised tonight, could you give the public an update on the closure of the Central Avenue Bridge, please?
Certainly through you, Mr. Chair. Central Avenue will be closed for 1 week starting April 18th to the 25th inclusive. The region and their contractor have been experiencing some unforeseen construction difficulties. As a result of this, the last remaining sidewalk crossing the railway will be closed permanently. It will be actually be removed from the structure. There will be detours posted for pedestrian traffic until the new bridges open sometime in early July.
Councilor McDermott.
Thank you for that.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Councilor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. My question is to Mr. Jansen. I was wondering if you could give me any information with respect to how we're handling impacts property assessment and how that affects our constituents moving forward.
Mr. Jansen.
Through the Mayor to Councillor Butler, are you referring to the reassessment cycle we have this year? Okay. Yeah, that'll be rolling forward in the coming summer months. MPAC is in the process of providing the new four-year assessment amounts. They're phased in over 4 years where there are assessment increases, where there are assessment decreases. Those are implemented immediately. The reassessments will be effective for 2017, so not to take effect until next year's final tax billing. We've requested MPAC to come and do a presentation to council in July, and at that point you'll get a full presentation from them and an opportunity to ask questions with any matters related to that.
Anything further, Councillor Butler? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. Through you to Mr. Walsh, April traditionally is Earth Day, Earth Month, and I'm wondering if you could shed some light on whether or not the town will once again be able to assist various organizations and associations with their Earth Day cleanups as far as garbage collection, and if we are in a position to do that, how would they make those arrangements?
Mr. Walsh.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Certainly, we love this day. It's great for the community. If an organization has collected any garbage, if they want to phone in to our main phone number, 905-871-1600, and let our customer service reps know that they have an Earth Day pickup, we'll be happy to arrange that. Just tell us where the bags are.
It's helpful if you're contacted in advance. Organizations will know if they're going to do this.
Yeah, certainly. If you can give us... Earth Day is the Sunday or the Saturday, I believe. If you can let us know by Friday, it'll help on Monday.
Thank you. Councillor Passero, anything further? Councillor Zenko.
Thank you, Your Worship. Through you to Mr. Cookett. I'm wondering if possibly some information or Mr. Cookett, you could look in with the Community Gaming and Development Corporation. I've had a number of constituents that belong to the Ridgeway Crystal Beach Skating Club contact me with regard to any updates on allocations. There was an appeal back last year, actually, at which time they were assured that the skating clubs would be looked at more thoroughly and possibly different allocations would be granted. They've just never received anything back, so they're wondering when they could expect that information. Apparently, they did submit an application as well in December.
Mr. Kogut, through your worship to the councillor, I definitely will look into that. I recall them appealing their decision, and I'm not sure of the status of that. I will look into it and get back to council.
Perfect. Thank you.
Anyone else? There being none, then we're going to move to motions. And Councillor Passero, you have a motion.
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that staff be directed to remove the entire EC overlay on the property known as 359, 379, 399, and 402 Gorham Road. And if I could speak to that.
Yes, please do.
Somewhere in the communication between myself, Ms. Stoltz, the clerk, back to me again, and round and round, a typographical error occurred. So I'm looking for the best way to correct it at the present time. There is no 402 Gorham Road within the parcel that we're speaking about. That needs to reflect 409 Gorham Road, just for the purpose of the discussion ahead.
Okay, so you moved it, and if your seconder is agreeable to that, then that's what we would call a friendly amendment, suggesting that 402 should read 409.
Yes.
Okay. Do you wish to speak further to this?
I do. Thank you, Mayor Redekop. I want to thank Mr. Brady and Ms. Stoltz for the additional information that we were supplied Friday and over the weekend. And I wanted to draw Council's attention to the much useful map that was provided, because it does give a great visual of the different properties and the overall parcel fabric that we're looking at. And my first question to Mr. Brady is regarding the dotted line that we see noted as the wetland 30-meter buffer regulated by the NPCA. Is even if we were to go ahead with the removal of the EC overlay on said properties, what jurisdiction, if any, do we have on anything to the west of that hashed line, or is that completely out of our jurisdiction?
Mr. Brady.
Through you to Councillor Passero. On the on the map that was supplied, there's an area which is green, which is environmental conservation. There's a blue dotted line, which is the one I think you're referring to, which is the wetland buffer. That, if council chose to direct staff to remove the EC layer, that dotted line would remain. Dotted line, which is the 30-meter buffer, and the purple area, or purple area, which is designated environmental protection area, would also remain. So on lot 379, there would be the green, the light green, would remove, and the purple dotted line and the heavy purple area would remain if the resolution was successful.
If I could, Your Worship, could you speak then to the reference of the red dotted line going across and the significance to that in how this process plays out? I believe that Mr. Compson's original request is asking for us to remove the EC overlay back to that line. Could you just let us know exactly what that line is and how this would affect that?
Mr. Brady.
Certainly. Councillor Passero, the red dotted line, which runs across the property, is a line which approximates a line that the courts have identified for this property. The lands to the east of that line were lands that were disturbed in the past, and the lands to the west of that line were lands that were not disturbed in the past. So that is a part of a court settlement with Mr. Compson. And there are other aspects to it as well, but that dotted line is a part of that court decision.
Councilor Passero?
Thank you for that, Mr. Brady. Could you provide some overall comments with regards to the individual parcels and the planning department's opinion as to where the EC overlay could be done at this time with no harm, no foul, and where you think that we should maybe tread a little bit more carefully and your justification for that.
Mr. Brady.
Certainly. Councilor Passero, as I mentioned earlier, the developer of the property, the potential developer of the property, removed a lot of the wetland feature on 379. And if you went out there today and we looked at the landscape, it doesn't appear to have a wetland function associated with it. That issue was discussed with our Environmental Advisory Committee. Our Environmental Advisory Committee advised that they still felt that an EIS would be best to do on that property. I'm not certain that an EIS would provide us with a lot more detail on the green area. I think it would on the purple area. So the advice that I've provided to you in the memo is that the planning department certainly has no issues with the EC and only the EC being removed off of 379 and 359. 359 is a little parcel that comes into it, and it was affected as well. Now, lands to the north, which are also within the holdings of Mr. Compson's business, and those lands are outlined in a dark line. The back lands of 399 and the back lands of 409 have not been affected by any removal of vegetation. So in the planning department's position is that those lands should not be removed by council, or it would be preferable that council not direct staff to remove those lands, and that it would be more desirable that those lands had the benefit of an environmental impact study before any further consideration would be done on those properties. I will also draw your attention to the fact that 409 appears to be two blocks. They're connected at a point. The one block faces the Gorham, and then there's a larger block, which is all EC with a little bit of EP lands associated with it. Those lands, those back lands, are where Mr. Compson's business is required by the judge to recreate a wetland to compensate for the wetland that was destroyed on 379. There's a court decision to that effect, and my understanding, but I haven't been privy to a lot of the details, is that the Conservation Authority and Mr. Compson are dotting the I's and crossing the T's on the actual restoration for those lands. So clearly those lands would not be appropriate to be removed from the EC designation.
Councilor Passero.
Thank you, Mr. Brady. Is an EIS mandated due to the EC overlay, or is that something at council's discretion? What triggers an EIS?
Mr. Brady.
Through to Councilor Passero. An EIS is a part of the official plan that identifies how we deal with environmental EC lands. If I can back up just for one moment, we have two tiers of environmental lands in the town of Fort Erie. One are referred to as environmental protection lands, and those are the highest level of protection. Environmental conservation lands are ones that there's a feature on the ground, but we're not certain if that feature on the ground is sufficient to preclude development or whether that feature on the ground is something which needs to be included in a development, or whether that feature on the ground is completely unwarranted and with further detail it could be removed. So the EC is a warning, go slow here, while the EP is a don't go here, and more of a vernacular. So the EIS is the technique that we use to try to determine when it's appropriate for the EC lands to be removed and to what degree. It's sometimes all of the EC lands can be removed. At other points in time, a subset of the EC lands could be removed.
Mr. Passero?
Thank you, Mayor DeCamp. Are we aware whether or not the EC overlay predated Mr. Compson's purchase of this property?
Mr. Brady.
Through to Councilor Passero. I'm not exactly sure when Mr. Thompson bought this property, and I don't believe he purchased all the property at the same time. So I can provide counsel with some information on that, and we can do some research and give you the dates which it was acquired. But I can tell you that the EC overlay was placed on this property when the official plan for the town of Fort Erie was approved, and that was some time ago. The town council approved the official plan some time ago. It sat at the region for about five-ish years, and about 5 years ago, when I first came on board with the town, one of my immediate goals was to have that official plan finalized, and it was within a very short period of time. So the official plan's about 5 years old, thereabouts, but it was council approved at least 10 years ago.
Councilor Passero?
Yeah, if I could. One more question. Looking at the parcels 399 and 409, it appears that the majority of 399, and not necessarily the majority of the parcel, but the majority of the parcel that's not subject, or I should say that the majority of the parcel that is east of the blue wetland 30-meter buffer, it looks like the majority of that has been cleared, is part of an ongoing entity. 409, not so much. It looks like the green shaded area kind of exceeds a little bit further to the east. I'm guessing most of that is woodlots, which is why planning would like to see the EIS. Is there any hesitation or comments on the possibility of removing the EC overlay from Gorham Road working west so that it would mirror the green shaded area to at least remove the EC overlay on the property where there's no woodlot left, it's already been developed, leave that in Mr. Thompson's hands, and then make a recommendation that council would consider this again should an EIS be done for the balance of the lands?
Just for clarification, when you say east, west from Gorham Road,
yep,
talking about removing parts of what is green?
No, I'm looking at removing the...
I believe that the only parts that are encumbered are the parts that are in green. Is that correct, Mr. Brady?
That's correct.
Yeah, as the EC overlay. So particularly for property 399, it doesn't look like there is a tremendous amount of that going from where you see it kind of already cleared, working west over to the blue hatched line. Is there still concern with that small portion there as a part of the total between 399 and 409? Should that be done at the same time? Or could council choose to remove the EC overlay for at least 399?
Mr. Brady.
Through you to Councilor Passero. I went out to these properties before the rains came and took a look at them. 399, the back third of 399 looks wooded to me. And about... And the portion that's identified on 409 that is in green also looks wooded to me. And given that very casual observation, I would hesitate to recommend the council to do anything with 399 or 409.
Councilor Passero.
Okay. Thank you for that information, Mr. Brady. I'll give up the floor to my colleagues for any additional comments. At this time, I'll let the recommendation as amended or corrected stand, and we'll see where it goes.
Okay. Anyone else? Mr. Brady, my understanding is that the, and you may not know this particularly, but the Environmental Advisory Committee did a site visit with respect to this.
Yes.
And their position was that the EC should not be removed unless there was an EIS?
That's correct.
And they've been able to provide at least some late comments with respect to the motion before us. I don't even know whether you've had an opportunity to review of the comments.
I have reviewed those. Those were an email that came in late this afternoon.
Well, there's three now.
Yeah, well, they came in a string. Yes, right. I've reviewed them.
Okay, so... how would you describe your advice to the council vis-a-vis the decision made by the Environmental Advisory Committee a couple of months ago, or even what their comments are today?
Two points I'd like to raise there. One, I wasn't on the field trip that they accomplished, and therefore I'm not sure if their observations were only of the lands that were EC or if they might have included some of the lands which are EP, which are not really up for consideration this evening. My rationalization, for want of a better term, is that two things have happened. One is that the courts have decided that there is a line, and that line is now an area where, on the east side of it, it's not as it's been damaged, and on the west side of it, it hasn't been damaged. Secondly, is my own casual observations of the land itself, and I've seen no specialized wooded areas that remain in the EC level on 359 and 379. So I have no issue, and I've said that in my memo to council, if council chooses to remove the EC overlay from 359 and 379, from my professional position, I have no problem with that. But I have a problem with the others, and I think I've made that fairly clear.
Just for clarification, and this is an odd map in that there's duplication of parcels and parcel numbers. 379, there's one 379 which is completely clear. That's the northerly 379.
That's correct.
And then there's a southerly 379. Your best advice is that 379 could be released from the EC overlay.
That's correct.
That wouldn't eliminate the blue buffer line that's attached to the protection overlay.
That's correct.
And your best advice as well is that 359, which has hardly any EC overlay with outside that buffer zone, could be released as well.
That's correct.
And in order for land within the buffer on 379 to be developed, would it be necessary for there to be an environmental impact study?
Yes, it would.
And that would apply as well to the protection overlay, the blue parcel that's part of 379?
The blue portion or purple portion of 379 is an area which has been damaged. It's clear. And it would appear that the Conservation Authority has 7 years ago said that that wasn't an area of concern if there's any further. But they do believe that any change in the designation of the EP lands would require confirmation by the Minister of Natural Resources that there are no wetland features on that property.
So if I might, you've given a rationale with respect to 399 and 409. 409 that's to the east of the other 409, because there's woodlots there. And looking at the map, the woodlot apparently is what appears to be green. But if I go over to 379, there's green there. What does that depict?
Former woodlot.
Beg your pardon?
Former woodlot.
I see. Hence your advice that the EC overlay could be removed.
Correct.
In a nutshell, your best advice is 359 and 379 could be removed from the EC overlay, but 399 and 409 should remain and be subject to an environmental impact study?
Yes.
And that's very similar to the position of the Environmental Advisory Committee.
It's similar, but there are some distinctions.
Theirs is a bit more restrictive.
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone else have any questions with respect to this? Councillor Zanko?
Thank you, Your Worship. Through you to Mr. Brady. Could you advise the approximate cost of an EIS? And also, what, based on the results of an environmental impact study, what would be the next steps after those results were to come back?
Mr. Brady.
through to Councilor Zanko. There's two questions there. I'll try to deal with them sequentially. The first is to give you an estimate on the cost of an EIS. It could range. Certainly, I'm having some experience with EISs right now because they're being done in other areas of the municipality. And I would suggest to you something in the neighborhood of about $15,000 is probably appropriate for the site. I'm not a person who does EISs, so I'm making that estimate based on what other people are paying in other areas. So bear that in mind. The second question that you asked was, I'm sorry, if you could repeat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, when the results come back.
When an EIS is received by the municipality, we circulate it both to the Environmental Advisory Committee, but we circulate to the Conservation Authority for comment. EISs identify both areas that are of no longer concern for whatever reasons, but they also identify specific mitigative measures. For example, it may suggest that all water be directed to the wetland, because that would continue to provide for water supply to the wetland. It may suggest that a particular tree or group of trees is important, and it should be incorporated into a site plan for the site and left standing. So there are mitigative measures which are often incorporated into the EIS, which then can be incorporated into a site plan. Any development of these lands, These lands are predominantly identified as commercial with the EC overlays and the EP on them, so that there would be at some point in time a commercial development coming forth for this site. Any commercial development that comes forth on this site would require not only a site plan, but a site plan agreement, so that we would have the capacity to implement any of the mitigative measures that flow out of the EIS into that site plan and site plan agreement. So it would become part of the contributory information towards the site plan agreement.
Councilor Zanko?
One further question through you to Mr. Brady. Are we bound by the findings of that impact study?
Through to Councilor Zanko. We're bound in the way that if an EIS is provided to the planning department and we feel that it is totally inappropriate in some fashion, and we send it out to the circulation agencies, and the circulation agencies, the Conservation Authority in the region, agree that the EIS makes no sense and that there's aspects of it which are ridiculous, no, then we're not bound to it. But on the other hand, And that, by the way, is not the case very often. On the other hand, when an EIS comes in, it usually comes in at a draft stage. We look at it. The Conservation Authority looks at it. The region looks at it. We provide comments. And so that by the time the EIS is finalized, we have a confidence in what it's suggesting, and therefore implementing it through into the site plan and site plan agreement is usually goes without difficulties. So once an EIS is received and approved, yes, it does bind us, but not until such time as that it's been reviewed.
Councilor Zanko.
Nothing further. Thank you.
Anyone else? Councilor Passero.
Could I just have 30 seconds to confer with my seconder?
Of course. Councilor Passero.
Mayor Redekop, if I could, if we could table this for 1 week, let this information sink in with everyone, and Councilor Zanko and myself would be very interested to receive a memo from staff regarding when Mr. Thompson purchased the property, how the assemblage took place, in relation to when the EC overlay was put in, and if we could put this off until the next regular council meeting deliberate then.
It would be April the 25th. So you're moving that it be
postponed.
You've provided the date, and you've indicated the information that you're interested in. Your seconder is in agreement with that. So we'll vote on postponing. Favor? Opposed? That's carried. None opposed. That's carried. Okay. Well, that was very helpful. A lot of interesting background information. I wonder if I could hand the chair to Councillor Butler for the next motion, which I would like to present.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. And the Mayor, yes, Mayor Redekop, you may proceed with your motion.
Thank you. I move, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that Council request staff to prepare a report regarding the feasibility of creating a reduction or waiver of water and sewer rates for commercial property owners whose property is vacant for a period in excess of 90 days, similar to the tax reduction program for vacant commercial properties, making recommendations incidental thereto. And I wonder if I could just very briefly speak to that.
Yes, please do.
This is an issue that's cropped up. It crops up periodically, and it doesn't deal with residential properties, and so that would be not of great interest to Mrs. Stack, but it does deal with commercial property owners, and we already have a program with respect to the taxes that relate to commercial properties, so that if there's a fire, as an example, or if a property remains vacant time, the property owner can apply for a reduction in the taxes that the owner pays. And I'm thinking that staff could maybe look at this. I think the number of occasions when it arises would be fairly nominal, particularly because most commercial properties are not vacant for 90 days, but some are. And so I've brought this forward. We have at least one commercial property owner that's raised this with me since the beginning of this term. And so this is a way, if this is approved, this then gives staff the authority to at least spend some time and look into this and give us some advice. I don't know what their advice might be, but I'd be interested in finding out whether it's something that we could do, perhaps to facilitate encouraging business in our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any comments or questions? Seeing none. Oh, Councillor Liebert.
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. I'll look forward to the report. I'll support the motion that's brought forward, but I would like to see in the report what the difference is between giving the relief from residential and commercial. I understand residential if it's just vacant because of like snowbirds and seasonal residents. But in the case of Ms. Sack here, who's had a fire, maybe we could work something out under circumstances with residential as well. I don't know. But I would like to see something like that in the report. And I'm assuming that in the report also it's going to, when we talk about our water and sewer rates and we have to be revenue neutral, where would those fees be allocated to and how they would be redistributed throughout the water and sewer rates?
I would think that would be part of the recommendations that we would get from staff as to how we would deal with that, whether they recommend it or not recommend it. Obviously, if there's a rebate program of some sort, it would be just like the taxes. Whatever is required would have to be picked up through the rest of the users of the system. But I would hope that the report will give us some indication of what the implications financially might be, depending on how many property owners might actually qualify or be inclined to apply. In terms of the situation with respect to residential, I've specifically crafted this for us to deal specifically with commercial. However, having heard your comments, perhaps the staff will consider a situation such as a fire or other type of destruction of property. Similar type principle, I suppose, that could be applied.
All right. Okay, thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Seeing none. All those in favor? Motion carried. I'll return it back to you, Your Worship.
Thank you, Councillor Butler. Are there any notices of motion? Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to put notice of motion. Whereas both United States and Canadian federal governments have expressed interest and support in the expansion of customs preclearance locations in Canada. Whereas the previous and present federal governments have endorsed preclearance pilot projects that would allow for people to clear customs at train stations and cruise ship ports the same way they already can be done at Canadian airports. Whereas it's imperative to the economic health of our binational border communities to make trade and travel between two countries more efficient and predictable. Whereas the Canadian-American Business Council has endorsed the preclearance model for its potential ability to put millions of dollars back into the economy of North America. Whereas $40 billion in trade crosses the Fort Erie-Buffalo Peace Bridge every year with millions more lost due to delays. Whereas it is vital to the economy and commerce of Fort Erie and Niagara to alleviate congestion and thickening of our border crossings. And whereas that the Peace Bridge Authority has the real estate ability and financial capacity to construct the necessary infrastructure to allow both federal governments to implement full customs preclearance. Now therefore it be resolved that Fort Erie Council support the implementation of binational preclearance initiatives at the Peace Bridge, that the Town of Fort Erie work with Buffalo and the Fort Erie Peace Bridge Authority and its binational board to see how best an initiative like this can benefit the economic prosperity of Fort Erie, Niagara, and Western New York, that Fort Erie Council and staff work with its federal agencies and partner to enhance border efficiencies while ensuring the safety and integrity of its borders. That Fort Erie Council encourage and petition the federal government to give full consideration to having the Peace Bridge host the first commercial truck and automobile land crossing preclearance facility in Canada, and that a copy of this resolution be circulated to Buffalo, Fort Erie Peace Bridge Authority, the Common Council for the City of Buffalo, the Niagara Region, the Niagara Members of Parliament, the Members of Provincial Parliament for their information, and to the local area municipalities for their support.
Thank you. And when were you planning on?
For our next council meeting.
April the 25th. And I believe that the representatives from the Peace Bridge Authority aren't available the 25th, but perhaps we could get some type of written, Madam Clerk, perhaps you could ask for some type of written background information relative to the work that the Peace Bridge Authority has done regarding pre-clearance. I know that there's been a lot of stuff gone on. It would be helpful if we had that. I'd hope that Mr. Reines or the chair, Mr. Anthony Nunziata, might be available, but they're not available next. I think that there's some time considerations here, so that it'd be advisable if we could deal with this on April the 25th. Thank you. Are there any other notices of motion? That takes us to consideration of bylaws. Does anyone, yes, Councillor Nutt. Sure, they are.
If we could please remove 67-2015 to be dealt with separately and 46-2016 to be dealt with separately.
Yep.
Thank you.
So the 67-2015, that's for third and final reading. So since we only have two bylaws in the package, Councillor McDermott, perhaps you could proceed, first of all, with, is there anyone else that wants any other, any other bylaws to take out? Councillor McDermott, perhaps you could start then with first and second reading for bylaw 45. I believe you have the resolution.
Yes, Your Worship, moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Butler, that the bylaw package containing 45-2016, to amend zoning bylaw 129-90, Village Creek Phase 3, formerly Bakersfield Park Lane Home Builders, is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? That is carried. That bylaw is on the floor for any questions or comments. If there are none, then Councillor Butler, could you proceed with third and final reading for that particular bylaw?
Yes, thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, that 45-2016 given third and final reading and to be signed by the mayor and clerk under the corporate seal.
Are there any questions or comments regarding that bylaw? All those in favor? None opposed, that is carried. That takes us then, Councillor McDermott, back to bylaw 46. Could you provide first and second reading for that?
Yes, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Butler, the bylaw package containing 46-2016 to repeal bylaw numbers 28-96 and 86-08, organizational structure, be given first and second reading.
All those in favor? That's on the floor. Councillor Nutt, you wish to speak to that?
Yes, Your Worship. Thank you. I would like to propose that we postpone this till the next regular council meeting at April 25th, and I request that the CAO, Tom Cookett, provide us with an update on succession planning in regards to this organizational review, as I was not satisfied in the last presentation that we had adequately addressed the need for succession planning within the town staff considering retirements.
Okay, before we do that, I wonder if we could get Mr. Cookett to give us some indication of what the significance of this bylaw is, because I had a question about this as well. If we repeal, maybe I can ask that question. If we repeal bylaws number 28 of 96 and 86 of 08, what do we have left in terms of providing an organizational structure for the municipality?
Your Worship, these are old bylaws that I'm sure you're aware that establish the organization as it stands prior to March 1st. So moving forward, we will be bringing forward a bylaw to establish the new organization. That will be coming at a later date. We still have some positions that we need to sort out and fill, and we're still tweaking the org review or the organization of the corporation. So that will be coming forward. This is just to repeal the old structures that were in place.
I would think that it would be prudent to repeal the old or existing structure bylaws once we've approved the new structure bylaw.
That is correct. And if that's the wish of council, that's what we'll do is once we finalize the new org, we will bring forward a bylaw and repeal these ones at that time.
I think that would be the appropriate thing to do. And so I would think that, Councillor Nutt, in terms of postponing third and final reading on bylaw 46-2016, that should be to a date when the new national structure bylaw.
That's acceptable.
Yeah. We have a seconder for that. Any, so we have a motion to postpone. We have the terms of when it would come back, which is in conjunction with a bylaw relative to a new organizational structure. All those in favor of the motion to postpone? That is carried. Okay, then that gets us to Bylaw 67 for third and final reading, and Councillor Butler, you have that. 7. Second reading was done sometime. This is the report. Final. All we're doing now is third and final reading for Bylaw 67. 2015.
Thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, that 67-2015 to provide for drainage works in the town of Fort Erie, known as the Black Creek Drainage Works 2014, are given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and clerk under the corporate seal.
Bylaws on the floor for questions or comments. Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Having read the updated report, I see that adjustments were made to accommodate some of the requests of what was discussed at the Court of Revision and some of the appeals. But what I still saw contained in the report was a costing to the citizens for new drains. And having asked the question several times of Mr. Walsh, there are no new drains that are planned. It's a rural area. If we take on any, we'd be taking on drainage ditches from farmland, et cetera. So I don't think that that report as it stands today is appropriate and should contain any information for new drains. And if we do expand urban boundaries at that time, I think it would be appropriate that we look at that. But in this report right now, if we move it forward, it will allow assessment to the residents based on that. And I don't think that that's fair considering the other drainage report that we just got for Nye Road, not containing any new drainage works either. It can be done in different parts. I contacted some fellow municipalities. They do those assessments when they come up, not in a broad stroke like has been proposed in that report. So I won't be supporting that tonight.
So, Mr. Walsh, do you have any comment?
Mr. Mayor, the report was originated a number of years ago as an administrative update only. That's what's contained in the report. If there is any future works, and as Councillor Nutt correctly states, there are no new drains proposed in the report, but if there are any future maintenance works, it allows for appropriate billing to beneficial landowners.
All right. So is there's a suggestion, I believe by Councillor Nutt, that this isn't the only way that this type of seed or this type of report can proceed.
Through the Drainage Act, Mr. Mayor, I'm not familiar with another method of appropriating maintenance works other than for the town itself and the entire tax base to take on the billings.
Thank you, Your Worship. That's, just to comment on that, it's not that I think the entire tax base should assume it. It's the appropriateness of doing it entire report. It's not a common practice. It's in the region, I'm finding from other municipalities, that they do it, the assessment based on the works that are being done at that time on that section, and then assess it to benefiting landowners. This one, I admit, is a little different, progressive, I guess you could say, is that they wanted it for take it in as for information and an update to the report, then it puts it in place for the citizens to charge at that rate or whatever is stated in that report will be bound to it. And I just don't think that when you don't have any works planned in the future, really nothing going on in that area, considering that most of those drainage works are outside of the urban boundary that we're speaking to. So, I mean, are we going to cover the creeks? Are we going to cover the farmers' drainage ditches to take on new ditches? It just seems really out of place compared to some of the other drainage reports that I've been reading. Don't think it's appropriate to include it.
Well, okay, so we're at a point where if we pass the bylaw, if we pass third and final reading, this becomes the bylaw.
Correct.
It sounds like you have some concerns relative to the process and perhaps the significance of this, and I've got to be clear. It followed a process that I'm similar to in the past, but that if there's some difficulty with that process, and if it's not a typical process, then perhaps we need to get some information on this. So perhaps the prudent thing to do would be to get the drainage engineer back here to explain to us why the process. Because we've gone through the Court of Revision, we've gone through the whole appeal process on this. Perhaps there's something that you're obviously not comfortable with. Don't think it's going to be helpful if we were to simply defeat the third and final reading. I think it'd be helpful if we got more information to find out whether we're on the right track or there's something that needs to be changed to get us on the right track. So would you be interested in moving that we postpone this third and final reading? And I would say for a month to give us an opportunity to get drainage engineer out here to respond to some questions that you have.
I think that's appropriate. This came up very early in our term when we were very new. So having been able to research it over the past year while it's gone through the Court of Revision, I have a different perspective than I did when it went through first and second. Correct. I'm not comfortable. People in my ward that are affected by this are not comfortable with the assessments.
That would make you uncomfortable.
It makes me very uncomfortable. But it's just... Their point is, why are we being potentially assessed for future works when no future works are being proposed? And then through the whole neighborhood CIPs and neighborhood plans, with understanding what the provincial policy statements are, I can see now why so many citizens were opposed to this and why they have such concerns. That a lot of this does fall outside the urban boundary. And it's not that the creeks shouldn't be cleaned when they need to be and maintained. And I think that portion of the report has been sufficiently and adequately addressed. It's the proposal and the assessments of new drainage specifically. I mean, I would accept the report if the engineer was willing to revise the report and remove that portion of it.
The remaining
portion of the report is fine.
So we've got a bit of an understanding of what your concerns are.
Thank you.
Part of the difficulty that we've had in this municipality over the last 60 years is the failure to maintain municipal drains. Failure to maintain municipal drains has direct consequence, and that's called provincially significant wetlands. We don't want to get stuck in the same predicament again. You've raised issues that I think can be addressed and should be addressed. So, are you willing to move to postpone the third and final reading of Bylaw 67-2015 for 1 month? Get further comment from the engineer and our staff with respect to this?
Yes, I'm willing to postpone it.
Anyone wishing to second that? Councillor McDermott? Okay, so that would be the meeting at middle of May. Let's say May 24th. Mr. Walsh, there's nothing that's seriously going to be impeded if this is put over for 5 weeks?
No, I don't think so. As I've said, it's just an administrative report. It's not holding up any works.
Right. Yes.
Through you, Your Worship, to Mr. Walsh. If this is just an administrative report, I'm just curious, and we know that there's no future works scheduled, will residents be immediately deducted the allocations indicated?
This hasn't been approved until we pass the third.
If we did, say we did.
The schedule of assessments, they would be assessed when work is actually done, but that would be the assessment schedule.
Okay, so if I'm understanding, their assessments would not become due until there was an actual plan for the work to be done then.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
Councillor Passero.
I just want to confirm that when we suggest that we're going to put this off for a month and await staff comment, that will actually be in person versus a memo Q&A.
Well, I'm hoping that the engineer will be available. That's the intent,
okay,
to get the engineer back here. Don't know what his schedule will be, but we can also get some comment from our staff to supplement that as well.
Yeah, at the very least, have Mr. Maiden appear so we can have a dialogue.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, if there are no other comments, then I'll call the question to postpone this to May the 24th?
Yes.
May the 24th. All those in favor? That is carried. And I guess that's it for the bylaw package, as small as it was. Councillor Zanko, you have first and second reading for the confirmatory bylaw.
Yes, thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that bylaw number 47-2016 to confirm the actions of Council at its meeting held on April 11th, 2016 be given first and second reading.
All those in favor? And opposed? Favor? Okay, that is carried. Councillor Rupert, you have the next resolution.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that bylaw number 47-2016 is given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? That is carried. That takes us to scheduling of meetings. Councillor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Tomorrow evening, 5:30, we have a Communities in Bloom meeting in Conference Room 3, I believe.
Okay.
And on Thursday, with the Environmental Advisory Committee, I have a site visit on Crook Street and Gracefield Avenue.
Anything further, Councillor Luberts?
Nothing.
Any other meetings? Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just want to let you know I'll be attending the Canets party with the 40th anniversary with you on Saturday.
Perfect. Is your wife a member?
No. She actually wanted to sign up to be a volunteer firefighter. I'm not either, no. And on the 14th is the AGM for the EDTC.
And the Chamber of Commerce.
Chamber of Commerce.
Yes. Any other meetings? Councillor Pizzero.
Thank you, Mayor DeCamp. 40-year Active Transportation Committee is meeting tomorrow, Tuesday, 5:30 p.m. in Committee Room Number 1. And I did want to mention we're just over 1 month away from our Hollywood North Party on the Patio Gala. It's coming up quick. Councillor Butler and myself and Councillor Zanko and Councillor Nutt and everybody else, very excited. And we have tickets available through any member of council. And I believe Councillor Butler has an email address and phone number as well if people would like to pursue tickets. They're $75 each, and I think we're approaching 75% sold out already. So get your tickets quick.
Good. Any other meetings? Then Councillor Nutt, surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko. The council adjourns at 7:28 p.m. to reconvene into a regular meeting of council on April 25th, 2016.
All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried.